How do you follow up with that? Like, seriously. 101? We had our 150th birthday just a couple of years ago. So anyways, it's good to have fun in church, isn't it? Happy birthday, Canada, eh? Yeah. So as you noticed, we dressed for the occasion. If you didn't get your shirt, they're at Old Navy. There you go. You can go pick yourself one up there. And they're pretty cheap. You can get them at the dollar store, apparently, for just a few bucks. So grab your Canada shirt. Tomorrow is Canada Day, but we wanted to talk a little bit about Canada. So 152 years ago, this nation was born. I think we don't look a day over 135, right? I think we look pretty good for 152. 1867 was a good year. It was a good year for many, many reasons, but how many of you know that Canada was around before 1867? Yeah, we've been around for, well, since God created the planet, really, but let me do a little bit of history lesson. I know some of you have been out of school for a few weeks. You need to keep the gray matter working. So let's talk a little bit about the history of Canada. So way back in about 1000 AD, the first people to hit this land was the Vikings. Okay, as far as from the east, people that came in and they started coming out and starting to discover the land of Canada. And then 100 years later on, we started the first most important activity in Canada, which is lacrosse. Okay, if you don't know, lacrosse is very much a Canadian game. It's the first hockey, okay? It's just done differently, not sticks, but with nets. Actually, when you look at history, lacrosse was first played by the First Nations, and they would play, imagine this, there would be 1,000 people per team. Can you imagine? And it was the last man standing. UFC has nothing on this. Let me tell you, and that's the Canadian game. So anyways, it started with lacrosse back to the year 1000. A few years later, there was a guy that came into Canada, and this guy was an Italian explorer by the name of John Cabot. He came in 1497. They didn't have digital cameras back then, so that's the best picture I could find of this guy. And he came and he discovered Canada for England. An Italian discovered Canada for England. Between 1534 to 1542, this guy showed up. His name was Jacques Cartier. He made 3 trips across the Atlantic. He claimed the land for the King of France. Now, we've got one guy that claims it for England and one for France. There is no conflict in the making there whatsoever. But this is how it started. And it's interesting because during that time, this guy by the name of John Cartier, he had a couple of guides that were Iroquois. And he heard these people speaking, and they were talking about their village. And their village in Iroquois was Kanata. Kanata. And the name stuck, so we've been called Canada since that day. So there's a quick history lesson. There's a lot more I can say about Canada, but let's jump back to 1867. And this was a day of Confederation. This was the day that Canada was really established and recognized. And the land became known as, anybody remember what the name was called? Dominion of Canada, the Dominion of Canada. And they came up with this name from a portion of scripture found in Psalm chapter 72. And I want to look at that here this morning. And I want to talk to you about our nation. And see, there's a voice crying out, folks, from our early church fathers, early fathers, should I say, and they were church fathers from way back then, and more importantly, from our Heavenly Father, about the importance of our nation being under God's dominion. Can we jump to Psalm chapter 72? Psalm chapter 72, and we're going to look at this a few verses. We're going to read verse 8 to the end of the chapter. Why don't we stand for the reading of God's word here this morning? Psalm chapter 72, verses 8 to the end of the chapter. It says this: He will rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. The desert tribes will bow before him, and his enemies will lick the dust. To kings of Tarshish of the distant shores will bring tribute to him. The kings of Sheba and Seba will present him gifts. All kings will bow down to him, and all nations will serve him. For he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy and save the needy from death. He will rescue them from oppression and violence. For precious is their blood in his sight. Long may he live. May gold from Sheba be given to him. May people ever pray for him and bless him all day long. Let grain abound throughout the land. On the tops of the hills may it sway. Let its fruit flourish like Lebanon. Let it thrive like the grass of the field. May his name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun. All nations will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed. Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone has marvelous deeds, does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Father, thank you so much for this nation. Thank you so much that we have the privilege of standing here this morning in your presence, knowing that you have given us incredible blessings, that you have given us opportunities to serve you faithfully and freely in this nation. We thank you for that. And Lord, as we take some time to look through your word, speak to us, God. Speak clearly and help us to apply what we hear in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about a call that needs to go out to our people across our nation, from one end of the nation to the other, a call that needs to go out to all Canadians and especially to all Christian Canadians that are out there. It is a call, first of all, a call for dominion. It says here in Psalm 72, verse 8, he will rule from sea to sea and from the river to the end of the earth. Let me give you a little bit of background on this portion of scripture. Now, the whole scripture was written about a king by the name of Solomon. And it was talking about his reign. It was talking about how God had blessed him and how God had blessed the nation through him. And at that time, what happened was they had dominion. They had rule from the river Euphrates to the very end, to the edge of the border of Egypt. They had dominion from the Red Sea to the Mediterranean. There was a whole section of land that they oversaw, and they ruled it well. Solomon, David, first of all, then King Solomon. But see, there is a place in this scripture where it says he will rule from the river to the ends of the earth. And David and Solomon never had that privilege. Anybody know who has the privilege of ruling to the ends of the earth? Yeah, that's the easy answer in church, okay? The answer is simply Jesus, all right? So we're going to talk more about that in a second. But let's go back to our context. Let's go back to Canada. Why are we looking at this portion of scripture? Well, way back in 1867, before most of you were born, the 33 fathers of Confederation, they gathered and they said, we need to come up with a name for this nation. They knew it was Kanata, or Canada, as they called it, but they thought, we want to call it something else. So they thought, let's call it United Canada. That sounds like a good name. How about at the time, the Prime Minister, John A. Macdonald, said, the Kingdom of Canada. He liked that. He was a good Brit that came across, and he thought, man, let's call it the Kingdom. But that morning, there was a governor, a lieutenant governor of New Brunswick, by the name of Samuel Tilley, that was in his Bible, and he was reading his Bible. Isn't it great when rulers and leaders are reading their Bibles in the morning? Praise the Lord for that. He was reading his Bible, and he came across this psalm, Psalm chapter 72, verse 8. And he read this verse, he shall have dominion from sea to sea. And he said, that is a word of God. And he came up, and he said, you know what, gentlemen? We need to ask God to have dominion, God to have rule on this nation from one end to the other, from sea to sea, from every single part of this nation. We got to call God to have dominion over our country. And so what they did is they contacted the queen and said to the queen, who was still in rule at the time, says, what do you think? And she gave it their world wave, and we've been known as the Dominion of Canada. Actually, we were known as the Dominion of Canada way up to 1982, until it actually changed. And you know what they did back then is they came up with a royal official coat of arms, And the motto on that coat of arms is Latin. It says Amarias Que Ad Mare, which means from sea to sea. And it still flies. This coat of arms is still found in different places. You know what that means? It means, God, we want you to have rule. We want you to have dominion. We want you to have full control from one end of this nation to the other end of this nation. See, back in the time of Solomon, this was the section that they ruled, a section from Euphrates down to Egypt and from the Mediterranean and down to the Red Sea. This whole section was ruled. But God says, or the scripture is saying, there's coming a man that's going to have full control, full rulership over the entire planet. And you know what? It's got to start. And I'm praying that he has dominion, has rule from one end of Canada to the other. I believe that Jesus can still have dominion and rule. I don't care how messed up our nation is or how messed up things are going or what people are doing. God can still have rule. And it's got to start in you and my heart. It's got to start in ours and say, God, we want you to have dominion in this place, right inside of me. Have rule and dominion. I'm calling out to Canadians today. I'm calling out to Christian Canadians today. I'm calling out to us today and saying, God, would you please have dominion in my life? Would you please have dominion in our nation? Would you please change the tide so once again, we are a nation that serves under God. I want to encourage you, if dominion is in your life, if God has control, then God wants to use us to make a difference. See, because the call doesn't just go out for dominion. The call goes out for us as believers to be reaching out to those that are oppressed, to those that need a special touch of God. And you know, folks, the truth is that when we look at our nation, and especially at this portion of scripture, there are three areas that I think we need to look at when we look at the oppressed and we look at those that need God's intervention. The first area is there needs to be a call out to the vulnerable. Here's what it says in verse 12. It says, "For he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help them." It's been said this, folks, the true measure of any society is how it treats its most vulnerable citizens. The true measure of any good society is how do they treat the most vulnerable. See, in the time that this was written, the needy, the those that didn't have, were considered pretty much outcasts. They were the poor, they were the slaves, they're worthless. Why are they even here? And the kings and the people at that time, they considered them a second or third or fourth class citizen. And they kept away from them or else they used and abused them. And nobody really seemed to care. But God did. God saw what was going on. God saw their needs. And God still sees the needs of the vulnerable in our nation here today. Folks, I'm calling out to all Christians, all Canadians, to take note of those that are most vulnerable. October 21st is Election Day. And I want us to seriously consider that we are involved in voting. This is one of the freedoms we have as Canadians. Aren't you thankful for that? And we need to look at the candidates and look at those that are standing for the most vulnerable. So who are the most vulnerable in our nation? Well, they're the homeless. They're the drug addicts. They're the shut-ins. They are those that have mobility challenges. They are those that have chronic conditions, maybe that have mental conditions. They're the vulnerable, and they need people. They need us to stand up and to take note of them. You know, the crazy thing is, we just saw a great video of a few of teens. God bless our teens and what God did there. That's fantastic. I'm very excited. But we saw a video of a few of our teens. Here's the thing. A teen, they cannot vote. A teen, they cannot drink. They cannot join the military. And they cannot drive. But Canada, and right now, there is a council of Canadian academics that are pushing hard for teens to make a decision that if they are plagued with some chronic illness, they can be euthanized. And I looked at that and I thought, are you kidding me? A teen, they cannot drive. A teen, they cannot vote. They cannot drink. They cannot join the military. But right now in our nation, a teen or younger can say, you know, I don't like being a guy. I want to be a girl. And because of their decision for that, they can go to the hospital in Vancouver, Children's Hospital, and they can be injected with hormone blockers so that they can become the sex of their choice. We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for the most vulnerable. By the way, those that believe in gender fluidity, it's a true fact. If somebody ever says to you, well, you know what, we should allow these kids to become the sex of their choice. It's a true fact that once they hit puberty, 80% or more will desist. They will go back to what they want to be. So we've got to pray for our nation, folks. We've got to pray for the most vulnerable. And we've got to take a stand for those that need us to intervene. We got to pray for the helpless. Verse 13 says this, he will take pity on the weak and the needy and save the needy from death. Talked about the vulnerable. We need to consider the vulnerable. I want to also say, folks, one of the most vulnerable people on the planet today are babies within the womb. Since 1982, there is no law at all in Canada against whatever stage a child can be aborted at. There's no law. Now, they probably won't necessarily be pushing for children that are at final trimester to be aborted, but they can if they wanted to be. Mother wants it. In Canada right now, there are about 400 babies that are aborted every business day. That works out to approximately 100,000 children a year. It's such a hot issue. Such a hot topic that first of all, it's not preached from the pulpit, but even in around our family sitting, even in our communities, we avoid it and we stay away from talking about this. There's a movie, by the way, coming out. It's called Unplanned. I don't know if you've heard of it. Unplanned is a movie that talks about Planned Parenthood, and it's an issue of a woman that deals with Planned Parenthood, works there, and comes to terms that what some of the things they're doing are not okay. It's illegal to show in Canada, or should I say not illegal. No theaters want to show it, except Chilliwack. Yeah, bless Chilliwack, the Bible Belt. So it's coming out, if you're interested, July the 12th at Cottonwood Cinema. There's a free advertisement for them. Abortions, the latest statistic for teen girls is 2009. They're not trying to keep a lot of statistics on abortions, but the 2009 statistic was that 14,770 teen girls had an abortion in that year. That means 10 years ago, 15,000 young girls walked into abortion clinic because they thought there had no other option but to take the child's life. Can I just say here for just a minute, if that was you or someone you know, let me just say this. God loves you amazingly much. God's love for you does not change. I also want to say that God is a God of forgiveness. And God can forgive the most deepest wounds that we are facing. Can I also say that God loves that baby? And God loved that baby, and we have placed that, we trust it into the hands of the Lord Almighty. But can I also say this? Ladies and gentlemen, we have a problem. We have a problem if we're killing 100,000 of our children every single year. And we can do something about it. I'm not talking about going out and causing problems and going to abortion clinics and bombing them and stuff like that. That is not okay. But I'm saying we need to be available, that when we hear or see of someone that has an unplanned pregnancy, we stand with them And we say, you know what? We're here to help you through it. And it may cost you something. You may have to give up your bed for a few months for that young lady. It may cost you time. It may even cost you some finances. A few years ago, I had a phone call from a lady here at the office. She called me. She says, I just want you to know I'm going in for an abortion. She says, I don't know why I'm calling a church. She says, I'm not a believer. She says, actually, she says, I come from a Sikh background. And my parents, if they found out that I'm pregnant, they would throw me out of the house. What do you say? What do you say? It was a very difficult conversation. I begged her and I said, I want you to know there is a better way. And I directed her over to the Pregnancy Options Center here in town, which we sponsor, which we support. And I talked to them afterwards. And I said, I can't obviously ask details, but so-and-so I sent over here. I just want to know if she came. She said, yes, she did. And we were able to walk with her and help her through some of these issues. There is hope. There is hope for this situation. They are, folks, they are the most needy, the most vulnerable. And we as believers need to take a stand and say, we can do, let us do what we can to help out in these areas. Let's pray for those that are oppressed. Verse 14 says this, he will rescue them from oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in his sight. The third group I want to talk about that are oppressed, the group that I've talked about here from this pulpit before, and it's a group that really, really burns in my heart. And that's those that are human trafficked. I love this word, he will rescue. He will rescue. Isn't that a beautiful word? Just a picture of someone grabbing, and the picture is of the king helping and rescuing, but ultimately a picture of God pulling people out of a very difficult situation. Folks, these folks are helpless. They are so oppressed. And it's interesting because in my research, I found out a few things. I found out that here in Canada, child sex trafficking is the fastest growing crime because it is so profitable. I could almost not believe that. The fastest growing crime, child sex trafficking. Local girls of all ethnicity and social class from the ages of 9 to 14 are grabbed, are taken, and are used in the most horrific ways. A teacher, Kathy Peters, she used to be a school teacher. She's been traveling around the province. She's actually been traveling around the country giving these statistics at many different places. And she said this, that this average girl will bring in about $360,000 per year per victim, where she will have between 10 and 60 men per night, 77 days a week. We have a problem in our nation. This is Canada. I'm not talking India. I'm not talking in some Muslim country. I'm talking Canada, that we have this issue right now. And I want us to be, parents, you need to be aware of what your kids are looking on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, and all these social media sites, because that's where these pedophiles are trying to lure young ladies. And they are doing a great job of it, unfortunately. There is an organization out there called Servants Anonymous. And I was at one of their information sessions, and quite moving. They work out of Vancouver, downtown Vancouver. And they work specifically with those ladies that have been trafficked. And I was on their site this week, and they have a video on there from a couple of young ladies. The story is so very common. The first part of the story is about how people are lured into that world of sex trafficking. The first young lady, and I won't show you the first part because it's just too long. The first part talks about one gal who was molested by an uncle. Was then told her parents, they didn't believe her, so she left home, and it wasn't long. Actually, they say within 48 hours of being on the street, a girl will be lured into sex trafficking. 48 hours. So that's the first story. The second story is of a young lady that was looking for a better life and was promised a better life if she came to Canada. She came to this part of the world. I'm just going to show you their story of where they're at and how they feel about what they're experiencing.
They told me that there had been a change of plans and before I could be a nanny, that I would need to pay them back for my airfare. And when they opened the door to the room, there were already many women inside, sitting on the floors and on the filthy beds. And when they closed the door to the room, I asked one of the women what was going on, and she told me that we were at the brothel. I did not understand. For probably 6 months, after every client, I would throw up and then cry for 2 hours. I lived for the next hit of coke just to turn it all off. The next day, I was introduced to my first client. He was an old man, and he smelled like gasoline. We were done in 15 minutes. I cried for 2 hours. Whenever I smell gasoline now, I become sick to my stomach. I called home once. My dad answered. And when he heard my voice, he called me a whore and hung up. So they told me that if I ever tried to escape or tell the police that I would be sent out of the country for entering the country illegally. They also reminded me that they know where my mother and my daughter live. My days are spent sleeping and getting high, and at night I try not to look into the faces of the men and imagine that they are probably someone's father. I'm already dead. I don't feel anything. I don't laugh or cry. I don't feel pain or joy. I feel like my spirit has left my body, but every day I still wake up. I don't want to wake up. If this is just like a bad dream, I want to wake up now. I feel invisible. Why can't anyone see me? There's a world going on around me. People drive by me in their cars as I stand on the corners. Do they see me? You know? Not the prostitute, but me? I hear the world outside my door. I hear the sirens and the cars and the dogs barking and the children laughing, but nobody knows. I'm just right here, just beyond their reach. People don't want to see me. If they did, they'd have to do something. But I'm still right here. I'm just right here.
I know many times I personally have walk to the other side when I've seen someone, doesn't necessarily have to be a prostitute, maybe somebody begging for money, or somebody else will get involved. Somebody else will take care of this. I've got more important things to do. I've got to get to that meeting. Did you get it? Do they see me? I'm right here. I'm right here. I'm calling out to all Canadians. I'm calling out to our Christians. Please, don't overlook the oppressed. Don't walk to the other side of the street. Maybe there's something we can do. Maybe all that we need to do is just let them know we care. I love walking when I see somebody begging for money, and I don't always have money, but I just at least give them a smile. And sometimes that's all they want. They want to know that somebody thinks that they are in fact human. And that we as believers let them know that we care. There is a call going around across our nation, a call for dominion, a call for the oppressed. But I want to end by saying there is a call for blessing. Here's what he says in the last part of the scripture. He says, long may he live. He's talking about the king. And he talks about all the blessings. I've read it earlier. And I just love what it says in this portion of scripture. It's such an incredible picture of the blessings of what God had given the nation at that time, but the blessing that God has given us today. It's interesting, it says that he will be blessed from gold from Sheba. And you remember the story of how the queen of Sheba came and she brought an incredible amount of gold to Solomon. Actually, she brought him 4 tons of gold, worth approximately, in our current value, about $230 million. I usually bring flowers or a plant when I go visit somebody. Queen of Sheba brings him $230 million of gold. But see, God wants to bless us, wants to bless this nation, and I believe God has. By the way, I found this very interesting, that they actually discovered one of the mines in that area where the Queen of Sheba came from, and in Ethiopia at that place, and they discovered this place. So it's actually a legit place. God has blessed us, folks, in incredible ways. If you look at it back there, he made them prosperous politically. He blessed them economically. He blessed them spiritually. He blessed them commercially. And then he blessed the other nations because of them. Isn't that so much like Canada? Where God has blessed us in so, so many ways, and we can as well bless the nations around us. He's blessed us politically. I don't care what you think about our politics. We don't have dictatorship. We have freedom. We can still vote. Thank God for that. He's blessed us financially and spiritually and commercially. And he has blessed all nations because we are willing to be involved to the ends of the earth. The last part of this psalm says this: praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel. Can I say the God of Canada, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with praise. I want to end by reading something. Martin Smith is a singer, songwriter, used to sing for a group called Delirious. And he was in a concert one day, and he had someone come up by the name of Holly Rowe, who did what is called a spoken word. So in other words, she in the middle of the concert, she got up and she spoke out this poem. And I want to read it for you, and I can't do it justice. But just think about the almighty God that we serve in our nations. Here it is. Here's what she says. He's a king that gave up his throne for the fallen, finding purpose in the mess and beauty in the broken. He's a rule breaker, rebel that tore up the laws with a love so reckless it broke down death doors. Friend of forgotten and lover of the lost that leaves the 99 every single time, no matter the cost. He's the depths of the earth and the beat in your chest. Creator of the universe that moves my every breath. He's a splinter of the seas and he walks on water, bringing peace to storms like he's friends with thunder, knocking down giants and curing cancer. Just the mention of his name makes the enemy shudder. So we won't stay silent and we won't be afraid. Because guess what? God and us share the same DNA. The freedom we'll find when we take a leap of faith, because we were made to be wild. We were not made to play it safe. So we risk it all for a life of revival, because Jesus, you're the one, and there is no rival. Isn't that great? Folks, God is for us. He's for our nation. And he has blessed us in incredible ways. I'm going to call the band up here at this time. And I want to close in just a minute in prayer. But in the closing moments of this service, I want you to look at your own life for a moment. See, God has blessed us with incredible blessings. And maybe you are not experiencing those blessings. Maybe you're not even experiencing God. Maybe you were at one time. Maybe you never experienced God. Can I say that on this Canada Day celebration, it may be the day God is calling you to be part of his dominion, his kingdom, not just this kingdom of Canada. So if I can just get you to bow your heads at this point in time. I want to ask you today, if you're here today and you say, you know what? I have not asked Christ into my life. He's not part of my life. I've been doing things I know aren't right, and I want to change. I really need Jesus. And if that's you today, I just want to pray for you. We want to give you something, give you a little package as well. But we just want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. But if you are here and you're saying, I need Jesus, can I ask you just to put up your hand? And I want to pray for you. If you're here today and you're saying, I've done things that I know aren't right. I just need God's forgiveness. I need God's freedom in my life. You may be a believer, but you need to make things right. Can I pray for you as well? Is there someone here saying, man, I need God's forgiveness here today? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. God, thank you for those that have put up their hand. I pray, God, you would take this little step they've taken and said, I need your forgiveness. And would you meet them where they are at? And would you bring them freedom, bring them strength, bring them peace? God, just continue to work in their lives. Thank you for the nation that we live in. Father, thank you that we can bless other nations as well. That we have been able to, even as a church, been able to invest in other places on this planet. And God, thank you for those works that are going forward. I pray blessing on them. I pray continual provision and strength. Lord, we thank you. You're a faithful, good God, and we want to honor you in Jesus' name. This is the